This is episode 44 of Eye on Digital Marketing podcast presented by More Visibility. I am your host, Chuck Forbes, and today I am joined by Catherine Stewart, Senior Client Strategist. Catherine, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Chuck.
And don't forget, you can follow us on social media at More Visibility, all one word, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And don't forget to visit our website, morevisibility.com. You can listen to more podcasts there. Sign up for our newsletter where you get monthly tips from our marketing experts or read some more blogs if you like. Catherine, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. When we were collaborating on some topics, you threw out the idea of Google My Business and had some very thorough notes, and I love them. And it's a topic we haven't really dived into recently on the podcast, so I'm excited to talk to you today about what people really should be looking for and how they should be auditing their Google My Business, right? And before we do that, just at a high level, could you just remind the audience what is Google My Business and why should we be concerned about it? Why is it important?
Of course. Thanks, Chuck. Google My Business, which now they're branding it Google Business Profile. Of course, Google.
Oh, so the name changed again. That's a typical Google thing. Okay.
Yes, indeed. You know, they've got to keep things changing, keep you guessing, keep you on your toes.
Yep.
But having a profile is an excellent way to enhance your online presence. That this helps you appear in the maps as well as the highly coveted Google local pack listing. And this is the listing of businesses that appear beneath the map in the search results. And Google Business Profiles not only promote your business products and services like your website, but it also allows for powerful audience insights. And this can help amplify your analytics and also inform very important business decisions within your marketing strategy. And you can see engagement metrics, clicks to the website, as well as other links, as well as search queries, long tail. These are all great things that can help you make and help shape your digital marketing strategy.
So one thing you said that I think is very important, because people are so impatient, I feel like, when they search, is you said those listings underneath the map.
Yes.
Right? So like, I'm on my desktop or my mobile device, just like everybody else, and you're looking for something quick, right? And you type it in Google, and you expect to receive that exact information about what you're looking for. But what we're telling you today, and what Catherine's going to dive into, is if you don't go in and audit that information, make sure it's correct, then you could be serving something or be one of those people where you're looking at the phone like, oh, this isn't what I want. Why is this coming up? Or this is incorrect information, or this number doesn't work, right? So
exactly.
Think about that experience and why that's so important. So Catherine, you said from like an audit perspective, when we were going over the notes here, you recommended a biannual review of all of this information. Why that cadence? And I guess it doesn't hurt to do it more frequently, but
Correct.
You wouldn't suggest doing it less than that, right?
No, absolutely. Okay. This is not like a once a year. It's not a set it and forget it. I know so many digital marketers, they invest a lot of time in setting up their Google Business Profile, but they forget to add that to their list when they have updates. That naturally they're updating their website frequently, or at least they should, their social platforms and other marketing outlets. But for some reason, their Google Business Profile just seems to fall off their radar.
Yeah.
And that can be very harmful, because Google will take the information if it's not accurate, and they can deprioritize you, and you may not show in the local pack, which is now limited to 3. It used to be larger, but they realized those that were appearing in the lower positions, 4, 5, and 6, they weren't receiving much traffic. So they thought, let's just shorten that up. Exactly.
Makes sense.
And so if your website links are not accurate, or if your phone number hasn't been updated, or, you know, just other typical business information is not matching up with what's on your website or other outlets, Google will see that as a signal that maybe your authority isn't quite as strong as it should be. And your competitor then might be able to show in the map, and you could be losing a lot of business, or again, have a very unfavorable customer experience, of which they then will be very happy to leave a less than sparkling review, which that creates more problems. So
yeah.
Just it's just really important to tend to the garden, so to say, and ensure that your information is accurate and up to date across all of your outlets and channels.
No, it's a good call out. I mean, the fact that you can be, you know, penalized, or maybe your listing is moved down or move off the page, you know, that's super important. And, you know, what we're really talking about and asking you to do is keep up to date with your own business information. It shouldn't be that of a daunting task to add into your digital marketing calendar for the year, you know, to do this once or twice. Like, this is kind of your bread and butter. You would never want anyone to do a search and your brand or company or, you know, retail store comes up and the information is inaccurate. That's like the first no-no of like business, right? Is exactly. You need accurate information out there. So, Catherine, if I'm looking at my Google My Business Profile, or what are they calling it now? What's the new
Google
name?
Google Business Profile.
Google Business Profile. So we just switched the words around. My Google Business Profile. Where do you recommend I start in terms of optimizing and checking on this?
Of course, let's start with the basics, your basic business information, NAP, the name, address, phone number. Is the website URL correct? Did you have a domain change? The links within your profile, are those accurate? Don't rely on redirects, because it also sends a signal to Google that you didn't go in and take the time to update. If you have a brick and mortar, let's make sure that your hours of operation are up to date and current, because nothing could set a unfavorable customer experience. And if they drive out to your shop or store and you're closed,
especially with the price of gas right now, you don't want anyone driving there and no. You're closed. I'd be double mad.
No, not at all. Also, if you do have COVID policies, have there been any updates? Let's make sure you're communicating those to your customers so that they're prepared. Also, take a look at your business description. While you are allowed 750 characters, I recommend brevity, because only the first 250 are going to display. And especially with mobile users, it's even fewer. So get right to the point. This is not the place to have keyword stuffing. It really isn't going to help impact your organic visibility. This is more of just telling folks what is your service, kind of like the bread and butter, let's get to brass tacks. It's not the place to showcase any special promotions or sales. Then you want to take a look at business categories. You're permitted one primary and 9 secondary. Optimizing the categories, this is where you can have a significant impact on your organic visibility. So taking the time to perform some keyword research to check out search volume and relevancy, but I'd prioritize those that are applicable to your most profitable services. Also, do a little bit of recon. Check out your competitor profiles to see if you can uncover any additional opportunities to show for relevant categories. But I offer a watch out, only use categories that accurately represent your business. Yeah. Don't stuff in others, because as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, Chuck, you don't want to show for a category that has no relevance to your business, and you can have, again, a very disgruntled or upset customer if you don't have relevance to what they're looking for.
Which, not saying that Google's leaving the door open for you to do that, but to your point, like you said, you're permitted one primary and 9 secondary categories, right?
Exactly.
That's a lot of secondary categories. So what your recommendation is obviously the primary category is your bread and butter. That's that's the, you know, end all be all. But there's secondary categories that you could definitely, you know, fit in. But if you don't need 9,
right,
don't use them all. Maybe it's 1 or 2, right?
Precisely.
Got it.
And also visual assets that Google says, having a business profile with photos, that you can expect to receive possibly up to 42% more driving direction clicks, as well as 35% increase in link click-throughs than profiles that do not include images.
And this is images, like, you mean, are they specific images, or just really you want to showcase your company, your customers, what you're selling? Just make sure that they're engaging and like high quality photos,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So let's not just throw out images just for the sake of it, that Google does prefer that you not use stock images, but sometimes you want to at least have a representation of an experience or of a type of experience or services that you have.
Yeah.
But to that point, you know, make sure, you know, is your logo current? You know, did you have a brand refresh? You want to ensure that you have consistent branding experience for your customers and users. Does your listing have a properly sized cover photo? A lot of folks just upload and not check out the specs.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't render the way you would expect it to, especially for mobile users. And again, it's just an extra polish to show that you're taking those extra steps to safeguard your brand and to have a positive experience for your customers.
And think about mobile too for the logo. You know, if you look at our brand, More Visibility, we have our logo that has the entire name of our company. But there's a lot of letters in there. It could get condensed too if we have our byline in there. So if we're looking at it on mobile, and I'm just giving an example, but maybe More Visibility says it makes more sense to just have our icon, which is the eye, above More Visibility, right? I'm not saying that's appropriate for everybody, but I think most brands have their main logo and then a few other spin-offs or smaller icons. So as long as your brand is, you know, able to be seen and known, and you're not just putting an icon up there that nobody has any idea about it or, you know, what you do, then maybe play around with that. Because like you said, you want that image to be nice, clear, and especially on mobile, you want people to be able to see it.
Of course. And since it is a circle, it can be very similar to what your website favicon is or what your profile image is for Facebook or Instagram if you do have social presence there. You do also want to check to see if you have any outdated images, anything if represents a service or a product that you no longer carry, or if you had a redesign within your exterior, interior. That said, you cannot, unfortunately, remove user-uploaded images. You unfortunately
can't. I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
No, unfortunately, Google does not allow you to remove images simply because you don't like them. They have to violate the contributed content policy. So there has to be a very specific reason. It can't be just that, oh, I don't really like this. Google doesn't really care. Sorry.
Yeah, and I it's funny because I visit some profiles of businesses sometimes, and I think, you know, you can tell the photos that have been uploaded sometimes by the company versus the user. To your point, if they don't violate anything, then
it's, I have to let it slide.
Yeah, what are you really going to do? But I think knowing that, you know, users can upload their own photos, I think gives businesses and brands more impetus to say, okay, let's create the best experience, because if someone did come take a picture and want to upload it, it would be similar to what we would post anyways. If you can get those too close, you'll probably never have that problem.
Exactly, right? Exactly. But also, you know, if you are up carefully and being strategic about the images that you're adding, you can control the narrative and help offset if you do have an image or two that you prefer wasn't there. After a while, Google will see that if it's not relevant, it won't show it as often, or it won't be ranked as high within the image carousel.
Yeah.
But if you did do like a 360 or a video tour, those are used also within the Google Maps, and it really helps new customers to be able to see or to be able to get a, kind of like a sneak peek into what their experience would look like. Or, you know, nervous folks, again, with, you know, gas being what it is, they want to make sure they understand exactly how to get to you. Mm-hmm. But also, if you do have a 360 photo, then folks can see, especially if you have a brick and mortar, that they can see what your storefront or what your medical office or what your building looks like on the inside. Again, so they just feel more comfortable and they know what to expect as well.
I love those 360 photos or video tours. Like if someone has that, I'm probably going to click and check it out, right? If I've never been there, or I don't know. I think those are very helpful. Not every brand can produce them, but if you can do it, I think that's a great idea to add.
Absolutely. And also people forget to include Google posts, that this is an excellent way to extend your content strategy, that the Google posts, they're visible for 7 days, so it's not evergreen content like a blog post, but this is where you you can have content display on the knowledge panel. Mm-hmm. That's the information box that's on the right-hand side of your search result page. That again, this is where you can showcase any promotions, your sales, or if there's seasonal content that you want to promote. This is where, yes, you can incorporate your keywords and show for those relevant searches and just demonstrate that you are thought leaders in your given area.
Yeah. Now, if I post something, I have a 7-day window, right? It will automatically then get taken down by Google after that 7 days. Can I go in there and maybe delete it earlier? Like if I have a 1-day announcement,
yes.
Hypothetically speaking, right?
Yes, you can.
And if I don't, then I have a 7-day window. But it's probably a good idea. Again, the audience is probably like, Chuck, you said this is not going to be heavy lifting. Do this twice a year. But I mean, if you have something going on and it's important for you to promote, like that's the whole point of the Google post content, right? So, you know, once a week, maybe it makes sense for you and your brand to update that. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe you don't feel like you should use it. But it's there. People do look at it. It does make a difference. So
again, it just adds more authority to your business, and it just gives another avenue for your customers to engage with you and your content.
Just to recap, Catherine, kind of the points that you said at a high level, make sure that all of your information is up to date, right, in your profile. Check out your business categories. You're allowed that one primary, and you have a lot of secondary options if that fits for you. Visual assets are key in any digital engagement these days. So make sure your photos are up to date, your logo's up to date. Look out for the users who are submitting their own photos, right? And you can submit some to be removed if they really do violate guidelines. 360 photos, video tour, content we talked about, super helpful as well. And then, you know, use the Google post content, you know, to just enhance your business, make an announcement. Like you said, you can be more, write it in a different tone than you would the actual information, shorter blurb about your business, right? So this is all super, super helpful. And there's probably a good amount of businesses out there who I would imagine have not done a full audit like this in a while. I know, you have experience doing that, and that's how we got here on the topic today. But just to wrap up, is there anything else that you've seen from doing a full audit like that, or any other tips that you would give the audience so this doesn't kind of get pushed to the side and swept under the rug, right? It's something you should keep an eye on.
Absolutely. I mean, quarterly would be outstanding, but, that may not be achievable for everyone. So at least, biannual, Fourth of July and start of the year, those are good benchmarks to start with.
When fireworks go off, right? New Year's and 4th of July. Just remember to check your Google profile. That's the simplest way to remember. Catherine, thank you so much for coming by and sharing this information today.
Thank you.
If you would like further details, you can contact us at contact@morevisibility.com.